Esse pro... Thank you. You're listening to Return to the Source and the music of pianist composer Orne Evans. It's from his new recording called Presence on Smoke Sessions Records, and you're listening to the composition Onward. And of course, pianist composer Orne Evans was born in Trenton, New Jersey, grew up in Philadelphia, attended Rutgers University, and later studied with Kenny Barron. He worked with people like Bobby Watson, Ralph Peterson, Dwayne Eubanks, and others. He made his recording debut as a leader in 1994 and later released a series of outstanding recordings on the Criss Cross label. And he's gone on to record prolifically for several different labels, including Positone, Palmetto, and currently Smoke Sessions Records, where his most recent recordings have been. Of course, his new recording, as we said, is called Presence, featuring his Captain Black big band. And in addition to leading his own bands, he is also a member of the group Bad Plus, and he's also performed with David Murray, Sean Jones, and others. And we'll talk about all this and much more. And Orne Evans, welcome to Return to the Source and WJAB.
Man, first of all, I need you to write my bio. I was writing down, like, who are you talking about? That's a bad dude right there.
All right. Thank you, man. But we want to, you know, as you mentioned to me, and it kind of caught me by surprise, but you said you got about 15 minutes. You're about to hit the stage.
Well, we're in New Hampshire. I'm playing with the Bad Plus tonight.
Okay.
But,
all right.
We go on in 30, but, you know, I know I got to get my mind together.
All right. Well, I understand that, man. And so, you know, I'll pare it down from what I was going to do, but.
Do your thing. We'll flow as long as do your thing.
All right. Now, in my preparation for this interview, you know, I read a piece that described your main focus as hard bop. But in my opinion, your approach is much broader than that. In fact, I think your approach is a more modern one, and that one that moves sort of to the left of center. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with however you see it, and you whatever words you need to describe it that make you feel okay with it, that's cool with me. And I don't mean you per se, I mean everyone. You know, I mean, it's been hard bop, postmodern bop, you know, out, avant-garde. There's been a whole bunch of words, whatever. But if which word that you can find to help you get through the day and be okay with at least appreciating what I do,
yeah.
If that word works for you, then I'm okay with it.
All right. But I think it's more than hard bop. But who was some?
I would agree with you.
Okay. Who were some of your influences and mentors growing up in Philadelphia? And I know, you know, I talked with Dwayne Eubanks here before, and I know you've played with him. Have you known him for a long time, Dwayne?
Dwayne and I moved to New York together.
Okay. All right.
Dwayne is my son's godfather.
So, all right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
without a doubt.
He mentioned, you know, Johnny Coles as one who, you know, sort of influenced him in Philadelphia. But who were some people in Philadelphia that, you know, might have helped you along, man?
Well, that's also one for me because he was one of the – he taught me a lot about being in a band.
Okay.
Playing with Johnny Coles. We had a lot of different cats, and from our wardrobe to the way we looked at the music, everything.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I learned a lot from Johnny Coles. But, you know, Philly, if you paid – you know, my thing is like paying attention. If you're awake – there's so much you can see during the time that you have your eyes open.
Yeah.
If you choose not to look up and see what's going on, then you'll miss out on the people like Shirley Scott, Trudy Pitts,
okay.
Arthur Harper, Mickey Roker, Bobby Durham, because it wasn't the same type of mentoring that's happening now. It wasn't the kind of mentoring that they were teaching at this college and you go over their house and hang. You might have to sit next to such and such at the bar just to hear what he or she had to say and gather that kind of information. You maybe had to go to the gig and just hear him play.
Yeah.
So for that, Philly was great for me because there were so many people I could just see and be around, like the people I just mentioned, and I hope I'm not missing any other. I mean, like I said, Ralph Peterson I met in Philly, but and then Charles Sambro.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just so many. I mean, I met Bobby Watson in Philly, although he's not from Philly, but because those people were coming through Philadelphia at different times, any opportunity I had to get close to those people, that's where I, you know, tried to go.
You know, because I was going to ask you about Bobby Watson. I know you were in his band for a minute, and you made a recording called Faith in Action, in which you, you know, performed a number of his tunes. I would think that he was probably pretty important in terms of your development.
Without a doubt. He's the other one that taught me how to lead a band.
Okay.
You know, he was the first one to take me on the road. Bobby Washington was the first one to take me on the road, first one to bring Roy Hargrove into the fold, one of the first people that employed Chris McBride. I mean, he was like the next, he was like our Blakey for that matter.
Because
our age is a little bit too young to have had, you know, I mean, Roy and McBride were in New York enough time to catch the tail end of Blakey, but not really be in the band.
Yeah.
So the next person who would like that for us was Bobby Watson.
It was Bobby Watson.
You know?
Yeah.
And those people who took that mantle.
Okay. Okay. In fact, I've interviewed Bobby here on the show, and he told me when he joined the Messengers, he said he was, you know, he said he was green and square as a pool table. That's what, that's what he said.
Right.
All right. Now, of course, you know, your latest recordings are on Smoke Sessions Records. And in fact, before we came on the air, I played your composition, Meant to Shine, from Liberation Blues. And I played Professor Farworthy from The Evolution of Oneself. But, you know, your latest recording, Presence, features your Captain Black Big Band and features, you know, a number of compositions by some of your band members. And I wanted to ask you about a couple of those. One of the tunes I really like is the tune Onward, which we just played, by John Raymond. Tell me a little about him. I'm not familiar with John Raymond.
Well, the good thing about the Captain Black Big Band that it first started at a club in Philly, and we were playing every week, and that was the full band, which was 17 people. And I didn't, you know, I didn't know all the young or even the older musicians around Philly to try to put a 17-member big band together. So each week I would meet someone new. You know, someone in the trombone section would help me get another trombonist. Someone in the trumpet section would give me another trumpet player, you know.
Yeah.
So when we moved the band to New York, and we started doing Smoke, that same thing would happen. You know, I'd need a new person, and sometimes somebody in the trumpet section would be like, I got it covered. Don't worry about it. And someone would show up, and I'm like, oh, who was that? And that's how I met the majority of the present-day Captain Black Big Band. You know, I've met most of them outside of Stafford Hunter, who was an Onward, who's been in the band since the beginning.
Okay.
And Madison Rath, I've met most of them as recommendations.
Okay.
And John Raymond was one of those recommendations.
Okay.
Someone said, oh, no, he can, you know, call him up. And he's in, and I just really liked him as a human being first, honestly. And that's definitely a prerequisite to being called, you know, for the third time as Captain Black Big Band. I say the third because the first time, you know, if people say you can play cool, you know, second time is when I try to figure out, okay, let me see if this person is really cool and we're going to connect off the bandstand.
Yeah.
So if you get that third call, that means I liked you as a human being.
All right.
way more beyond, you know, what you, I mean, and it's equally as I liked as much as you were playing.
Yeah.
And that's John Raymond. And he started doing arrangements for the band. And he's just an amazing cat. He's now teaching school full time and doing some great things with the program.
Yeah, okay.
He's doing some amazing things.
And I guess the same would be true of Josh Lawrence. I like his tune Presence, huh?
Exactly. Josh Lawrence was the same way. Someone brought him into the fold of Philly, and he quickly became family and then part of the village.
Okay.
You know, bringing arrangements, also bringing some great playing. He's also on the latest Tar Baby record that'll be released soon.
All right. Now, Orin, and I'm talking with pianist Orin Evans. So, Orin, what are you trying to do when you record with your big band? Do you hear something different that you want to play at that time? And how often do you get to play with the big band?
We used to play every week. We don't play every week now, but we're like almost every other week. Almost every other month.
Okay.
One or two gigs, you know, because I'm doing a lot of other things. But even when if I'm not there, the band still plays some gigs without me.
Okay.
And honestly, the idea of the band for me, and just the way I look at the music in general, for me in documenting, it's just like, if I'm on a plane and I watch a movie, I'm not a private guy. Like, so I'm not private in this sense, where I watch this great movie and I land and I'm just like, wow, that was a great movie. I got to call everybody I know that loves movies and tell them, yo, I just checked this movie out. You know, and some people are not like that. Some people go and they find a good restaurant and they're like, I don't want a bunch of people coming, so I'm not even going to talk about it. Me, I'm a post. I'm going to tell you, I want everybody to enjoy this bit of food that I just had.
Yeah.
Now, whether it's your type of cuisine or not, that's up to you. But I'm telling you, this is some good food. So the way I look at my band and my music, and especially the Captain Black Big Band, and why I record, is because I have a lot of fun doing it, and it sounds good to me, and I enjoy with the audience reaction. So I just want to share it with you.
Yeah.
That's it. It's a moment in time. It's not like, I mean, maybe sometimes it's like this deep concept. I want to document this concept. But the art for me is the love and the spirit and the energy that's in the room.
Yeah.
You know, that's the art for me. If we can all leave and it's just like, woo, that's some amazing art.
Yeah.
So what I like to do is just, hey, this was, you know, if you look at the last three records of the Captain Black Big Band, you know, they're all just a moment in time.
Yeah.
We recorded the first record live. Like, here we are. This is what we're doing. Great. We did the second record in the studio. And that was just like a moment of this is what we're doing. It's not like everything is perfect. It's not like we've totally, you know, refined our concept or I'm at the end of evolution. This moment. No, it's like this is just this. I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah.
The next record is better. You know, I hope in the next record, that's my goal.
Okay.
It's like a moment in time that I'm sharing with you what movie I just saw on there. And a friend of mine is always like, every time you get home, all you do is talk about the movie you just saw. Well, I'm like, dude, I don't want to keep that to myself. I enjoyed it.
So it's not just, so, you know, it's not just about, because a lot of, you know, a lot of people put together a big band because they want to play their composition. So it's not just about playing your compositions, right?
Well, that could be answered quickly if you just look at the last three records and how many compositions are mine.
Yeah.
You know, and especially the last one. You know, I'll be honest, I did not, and I fought with Smoke Session Records to call this record Warren Evans and the Captain Black Big Band.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope they listen, and they're going to be mad calling me. But I never, if you look at I hate that because it's really the Captain Black Big Band.
Yeah.
That's what this is. I just happen to lead it. I just happen to try to book the gigs. I happen to go, but this band is a village. It's a group thing, and it is the Captain Black Big Band.
Yeah.
You know, at one point, when I get to that level, you know, and I'm able to really just call the shots totally, then it will be that, and it won't be Warren Evans and the Captain Black Big Band, because I think that will answer some of those questions for the people.
Yeah.
Clearly, right there.
Okay. Now, your wife, Dawn Warren, she's a vocalist, and how often do you guys get to play together? And I read where you guys are running your own label, Imani Records. What does that entail, man?
Which part? Playing together?
Playing together. Well, first, how often do you get to play together?
Oh, man, I mean, it's been a while since we've been able to do that, but now that our kids are older, we're getting it, talking about doing it more.
Okay.
And recording another one of her records, because her record, last record, was exactly 20 years ago. We did it. We recorded it in May of 1998. So, you know, it's about time. Now the kids, actually, my youngest son was on the record because we recorded recorded his heartbeat when we went to the mammogram. So that shows you how, and now he's in his third year of college.
All right.
So it might be time to do another record.
Well, now tell me about the label then. What, you know, what does that entail, man?
The label was born out of, my wife came home literally and said, I lost my job, but they gave me this $4,000, what do you call that?
Severance pay? Yeah.
Thank you, severance pay. And I said, well, let's do a record. that was always me. If I found out we was going to be broke, it was time to spend money, you know, because that meant that we could at least try to sell those, you know. So we did our first record on Imani Records at that time. That was the beginning of the label. And did a record called Seed, and Branford Marcellus, Gary Bartz helped us out, a bass player from Philly, Mike Boone, and drummer Rodney Green. And we put that record together. My wife sang on it. Jaleel Shaw's on it. Dwayne Eubanks is on it.
Okay.
You know, so that was the beginning of it. And it was just built out of the need to, you know, be in control to a certain point. And then also just always document. It's like, I don't have to wait on them, you know?
Yeah.
If I'm ready to do a record, I'm going to go do a record.
Yeah. And do you have any artists on the label? Somebody you're going to be, you know, putting out in soon?
Oh, man, I need to get your address. We just released two. Caleb okay. Willa Curtis, a great saxophonist. He was on the record. He was on the Captain Black record. His record is out. But I will be honest, I haven't really... I'm going to tail in a servicing radio.
Okay.
But I'll make sure it gets to you.
Okay.
And then the second record just will be out December 4th. John Michelle, great bass player from Connecticut. And then right after that is J.D. Walter, a singer. So all three of those the first three, and on my label. The first two I'm not on, actually, which I wanted. I didn't want to be a part of the record.
Okay.
As far as playing on it, but the third one, J.D. Walter, I'm on. So, you know, Imani Records is just, we're going to be doing it as long as we can.
All right.
You know?
All right. Now, you mentioned, of course, that you're about to go on stage with Bad Plus. Of course, you know, you've been part of the band, I guess, for about a year now. And I guess some people were kind of surprised when that happened, but it wasn't completely out of the blue because I read you've known Anderson Reed for a very long time, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. He was in my wedding.
Okay.
Yeah, I met Reed in 1991.
So what's that been like playing with Bad Plus? Are you doing anything different, or are you just being yourself, man?
Well, I'm being myself. That's without a doubt. I'm always going to be myself. I'm always going to try my hardest to be true to myself. But I also have to realize, I'm in now in a situation where I have to see, you know, how things flow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, I'll say this as correct as I possibly can. But it's like, I was watching this show the other day, Chicago PD. No, wrong show. I was watching SWAT. That's what it was. And this girl was dating this other girl, and she, everything was cool, but then she found out that the other girl she was dating was married and had a husband, and she was like, yeah, it's cool. My husband actually wants me to join, you know, wants you to join in. So I was like, oh, okay, like on a permanent level, right? Like, not no, just like, no, this is like, I want you to, we want you to be a part of the family.
Yeah, yeah.
So then they had, you know, the last episode, we were watching it, and I was like, this is deep. And it came down, they had a meeting, and the husband broke down the rules, the wife broke down the rules, and was like, this is what it is. And that's really what I just stepped into.
Okay.
No matter what, there's a marriage that already exists.
Yeah.
So now I got to be a part of it and make sure that I never... You know, I'm always myself, and I'm always true to who I am, but I have to recognize the rules and be a part of and be respectful to the rules that exist.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, and that's, so when people ask, like, you're not, you know, I am me, but I'm also, you know, and then once I get the flow, then we can become three.
Yeah.
And after, to be honest, after about a year, I am finally, you know, feeling where I'm getting the flow. But
okay.
every day is a new day because, you know, it's like you go downstairs and you're like, oh, wow, you like watermelon? Like, nah, I don't really eat watermelon. I'm allergic to it. You're allergic? No, you didn't know that. Like, you didn't know that until you know that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that's the process now. You figure things out day by day.
Okay. Now, you know, just briefly, your future plans. You talked about your Tar Baby group. Tell us a little bit about that group and where you're going to be playing with them lately, man.
I don't know, but I went from watermelon to Tar Baby. The Tar Baby just finished the record. We're looking for it to be released on Clean Feed,
okay.
The Clean Feed label in the next month or so. And we're still just trying to work as much as possible. You know what I mean? Eric and Rita and Nasheeda, my brother. But we're all busy as I don't know what. So really, which is a beautiful thing. But trying to get it together as far as our time is one of the things that we're working on.
Okay. Okay. And I like Nasheed Waits a lot. In fact, I grew up listening to his father, Freddie Waits. So, you know, I'm always listening to him, man.
Yeah.
All right. So once again, we've been talking with Orrin Evans. Orrin, I'm gonna let you go because, like you said, you got to get yourself, you know, ready to play. And but we're gonna go out.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Well, we're gonna go out with one of your tunes from the new recording with the Captain Black Big Band. It's your tune called Answer. Tell me just a little bit about that tune, man, before we go out.
Oh man, you know, the bass player in Philly was like a mentor to me, but he was also a pain in my behind. Continues to be a pain. Like he always, everything was just like, he had something to say about everything. So we met this saxophonist in Philly. He was living around town. His name was Bahab Rainey. And Bahab was more of a, I hate using that term, but for time and sake of this story, was more of a avant-garde or more whatever okay. term. Somebody, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Kind of player. So he had this tune called Question, and it was real quote unquote outer to it was out to Mike, you know. So I didn't mean to say his name, but anyway. And you know, Mike would always talk about it, like So anyway, I wrote the answer, and I made sure it was just like a quote unquote simple waltz, but I put the little four bars at the end just to mess with Mike. So that's all that tune is. This is the answer to his, to the other, another tune called Question.
All right, man.
But the tune on the record is compared to Eric Reeves's Question.
All right.
So there's a whole bunch of little backstory to that.
Okay, man. And once again, I've been talking with pianist composer Orrin Evans. And Orrin, I really do appreciate you taking some time out, man, just before you're getting ready to hit the stage. And so have a good gig tonight, man, and take care. Thanks a lot, man.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
All right, we're going to go out with the tune from Presence. It's called Answer by Orrin Evans. Listen to music by pianist Orrin Evans, his new recording called Presence. And if you're my first caller here at 256-372-5861, it's 256-372-5861. You can get a copy of the new CD by Orrin Evans, Presence. Thank you. I'd like to congratulate Miss Ellen Washington. Called and won herself a copy of the CD you're listening to now. It's by Orrin Evans. It's called Presence on Smoke Sessions Records. You're listening to Return to the Source here at 90.9 FM.
Huntsville.